All right, everyone. Our guest, yours and mine, is Dr. Craig Albert. And we have been talking about security. We've been talking about community on the international level. And you've been hearing him tie that into the world in which we live right here in America the Beautiful, which is what the international community is about. That's the way we like to do it here. Help you see how decisions made here affect people across the seas and vice versa. And you're letting us know that not just on the national level, but on the individual level, we need to be concerned about cybersecurity. So, Dr. Albert, here's a challenge. We talked about cybersecurity. We talked about caliphates. And of course, again, they wanted to make sure that they usher in world calamity so that they can bring in their ruler who will rule the world. We talked about the fact that there is a connection between what was happening in Iraq, Turkey, Syria, Iran, places where the Muslims once had territory, had land, actual land that they ruled, they lost it. And we've talked about how this is really, really having an impact on the world. Help us see more clearly how what's happening with Kurdistan, which, as you shared, not technically a country, but a nation trying to regain what they may have lost. Tie together what we've talked about and share with us how the world needs to be concerned about Kurdistan. They need to be concerned about ISIS and the world, of course, including America.
Well, I think it's important for everybody to remember that now we live in the most interconnected world that we've ever had. And with the effects of globalization and travel, all of the technology that we have, everything that affects somebody worldwide has the potential, the possibility of affecting somebody elsewhere for all time. So when something happens in Kurdistan, we have to be aware of that, because if we don't respond properly to that, it could create a greater like human rights crisis that can create devastation, that can create the calls for the UN for more money to go in or troops to go in. Or if they get upset, for instance, and like topple the government, for instance, we might have to send troops in there. So we no longer live in a place where we're completely isolated and we don't have to worry about that. If anything happens anywhere through social media, in fact, it can cause members of that family or that group, whatever that group is, to incite violence here at home in America. So if something goes wrong, you know, in Iraq, that has the potential possibility of having backlash here, depending on our government response. So, you know, it's phenomenal, the pace of technology and what social media does. And we can have outrage. I mean, it's for good, too, right? Social media is for good. So we take Black Lives Matters, right? The big social media presence that went all the way to Europe just because of how it was posted and uploaded onto, you know, Twitter and Facebook and everything. So they had these type of marches and rallies in the United Kingdom, for instance. Like, so it can be used for good in instances like civil rights demonstrations and human rights demonstrations. But anything that can be used for good can also be used for bad. And so we have to be aware of this same type of technology can hurt us through like the cyber caliphate. And it's just important, I think. I always tell my students this all the time. I think I mentioned it earlier. Just love everybody. Like, yeah, it is over there. You know, it's happening in Kurdistan or Syria. But that doesn't mean we got to be cold to those individuals or try to tune it out. And, you know, remember that this is going on. Just be compassionate and empathetic and, you know, feel sorry. And at the same time, feel lucky that with the problems we do experience in the United States, you know, we don't have those problems. We're very lucky and fortunate, you know, people to live in.
Well, I think about that often, too, Dr. Albert, the fact that you have. I know that we're not completely immune, but we don't get it like Ireland or England. Other countries in Europe get it when it comes to these bombings, these mass killings with, as you mentioned before, the automobiles. We're not immune. We got stuff happening here, too. A lot of it self-inflicted. We got Americans doing stuff to Americans. But even though we had the New York incident, and I'm not talking about 9/11 either. I'm talking about the building that was bombed when President Clinton was in the White House. We have our incidences. We got our Rudolph issues going on. We got a lot going on, but when it comes to terrorists coming into the country, we don't have it quite as bad as a lot of other of our partner nations.
Yeah, even the founding fathers recognized this, the great advantage of having two gigantic oceans separating us from the rest of civilization is amazing. The founding fathers, you know, of course, called this divine providence. They, you know, led to manifest destiny, that idea that we were stationed here, you know, by the hands of God, and now it's our job to go and, you know, civilize the rest of the continent because nobody else is here, you know, the founding fathers asserted. But there's a great book that was published in 2001 by a great PhD scholar, John Mearsheimer, called The Tragedy of Great Power Politics. I know this is going to bore the listener, but he says what has allowed for the United States to be such a powerful hegemon, that means like greatest military actor in the world, is the fact that we weren't getting conquered every 25, 30 years by our neighbors. You know, the powerful, you know, European conquest, the empires of the, you know, 14th, 15th, 16th, 17th, 18th century couldn't get over here without, and that still is, that nobody can get to the United States with their military. China is the only country approaching what we call a blue water fleet. So no country still to this day can ship, you know, a million soldiers to the United States the way we can ship a million soldiers somewhere else. Some of that is we were fortunate enough to be put on this continent, separated by all the other, you know, advanced military societies.
Ladies and gentlemen, you all got to stay with us. Dr. Albert will be joining us again, and we're going to be talking more about politics as it pertains to us. Thank you, Dr. Albert.
Of course.
Till next time, everybody.